The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning to read at verse 4. This can be found on page 720 of the Church Bible, 720. Isaiah, chapter 35, beginning to read at verse 4. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the deserts. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading can be found on page 1010, and it's Mark 7, 24 to 37. Mark 7, 24 to 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good. That's good, so you can hear me. Let's pray. Father God, let your Holy Spirit open our hearts to receive your holy word this morning. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's fine. Thank you. So we are going to stick to the gospel reading that's in the book of Mark. There are two stories that you have heard from the reader reading, but I'm going to stick to just the first story, otherwise we will sleep here. And this story, we can also find it in the book of Matthew. That's Matthew 15 from verse 1 to 28. And that's on page 982. I'm giving you this because I'm also going to be referring to it. It's the same story, yet both writers brought in different points to the story, and I would want to use all the points they brought in this morning. So we hear that Jesus left the place in our reading from the book of Mark 24. The place is Israel, to name the place that he left. A lot has happened there. He has done a lot of ministry, a lot of things. And he leaves the place, I'm sure, for rest, because he comes to a house, which is very common. Jesus was going to many different houses, doing different things within the Bible. But to this house, he is wanting some rest. He is wanting some peace. But we hear in our reading today that it's now very difficult for his presence not to be noticed as he moves around. He is even out of Israel. He goes out of Israel, but still his presence in that place where he feels he can gain some rest and get some rest does not happen like that. His presence is so noticed. His presence is so done. I'm sure all the good works that have been going on that he has done have actually moved much further than he thought. Even in this present day, 2024, Jesus cannot be hidden. Just looking around in this place, the orchards, we see his good works. Just looking at ourselves, we are products of his goodness in what he has done in the past, and not only that, but even what he is still doing within our own lives as individuals and within us as a church in this community. I want to believe that our community can now not do without Jesus, even if they are not here on a Sunday, most of them, but they now have Jesus in them as they continue to interact with us throughout the week in so many different things that they come to enjoy in this place. Jesus is being of such great benefit into their lives through what is happening in this place, through our own lives in this place. So even to this day, Jesus cannot be hidden. Jesus cannot be hidden. The Bible tells us that we are the light of the earth, and indeed, through him in this place is proving to be the light of the world. So back to our story. This lady hears about Jesus' presence in this place, and she approaches him for help. There is a great need within her own family, within her own house, that she wants to approach, or she comes to approach Jesus for. And from the beginning, as we're hearing the story, Jesus doesn't want to help here, because that's not the reason for his visit into this place. He has come to rest. And we hear Jesus not helping her from the beginning. But at the end, if we are to go in the Matthew verse 28, he actually says to her, your faith, your great faith has made you to your request to be granted. From a point of not wanting to help to a point of then calling the great faith in her has made her request to be answered. Those words really spoke to me, and it made me really wanted to find out what exactly did she show, did she bring into Jesus to then want to help her from a point of not wanting to help, but not just help her, but even calling that great faith. So this morning, we are going to spend a bit of time just looking at those qualities of faith that she showed to Jesus that made her to move from not wanting to help her to then be able to help her. The first quality that I saw was it was the quality of she took action. Jesus is in a place where she has come to help. It's in a place where she is far off from where she has normally been doing all her work. And I'm sure he came silently. I want to believe that chances are high at this house. Maybe it was much quieter than in other houses and places that Jesus has gone in the past. But here is a woman who's hearing that, oh, he's actually in the radius. Oh, he's actually close by. And I'm sure with all the stories and everything that she knew, and with what she was going through in her own house, she felt the only person who can help me with where I am, with what is happening in my life, is Jesus. I better go to him. She took action. She came. She approached him. Despite even her not being a Jew, but being a Gentile, a person of a different nationality from the people that Jesus was so interacting and helping, she still comes. She still sees the opportunity, no matter what. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, which says, "The rest is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor food comes to the wise, nor wealth to the brilliant, nor favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all." She saw her chance, she saw her time, and she did not waste time. She went for it. We are encouraged in the Bible to be doers of the word, doers of what we hear, doers of what comes across us, and that matters a lot to God. She must have heard a lot. You just can't go to any person that you have never heard of or whatever. You can't. It was because she had heard a lot of good things about this Jesus, and she decided to take action. She decided to go and get her problem solved, or at least speak to him and hear what comes out of him. Again, I look into our church. In numerous actions and times as a church, we have gone and taken action. We have gone and taken the necessary action that we feel could enable and help our church to move forward, that we feel could enable and help us to make a better presentation into our community of our Jesus, the Jesus that we worship. The second quality that I felt she showed when she came to Jesus, which then called her to be called great faith, is she came in humbleness. She was so humble when she came to Jesus. In the Mark verse 25, it tells us she knelt on at his feet as a sign of worship. She's coming to this person for the first time, and the first thing she just comes and fell on her feet as a sign of worshiping her. And not only does she come and fall on her feet to her, she calls him Lord throughout. In the book of Matthew verse 22 on that chapter 15, she says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Meaning that I'm not worthy to receive, I'm not worthy at all. Neither do I deserve what I need from you. But Lord Jesus, through your mercy, have mercy upon my daughter. Have mercy upon us. She's not coming all puffed up. She's not coming. Yes, she's a woman of courage. Yes, she's a woman of boldness. But she doesn't come in showing that boldness of courage. She actually comes to ask for mercy. Father, it is through your mercy that you can hear me. It is through your mercy that, Lord Jesus, you can come through for my daughter at this moment, at this juncture. And throughout, even if you read it in the book of Mark or in the book of Matthew, she calls him Lord. She's encountering Jesus, who at first in the book of Matthew says he keeps quiet. When she asks first, Jesus doesn't respond. And then when he responds, it's a negative according to her. Jesus is rejecting to help her. But still, she still calls him Lord. Throughout the encounter, you are my Lord. Despite you answering my request the way I want it or not, you still remain Lord in my life. She's coming with great humility. I'm sure her understanding of who Jesus is still made her to worship despite what was happening throughout this encounter. I'm not sure how I would personally have reacted before reading this story, in first Jesus remaining quiet and then Jesus coming and saying negatively. Possibly I would have walked away. Possibly it would have been hard for me to still remain there. Because in her remaining there, she resembles a quality of persistence. She is persistent in what she is asking from God. A request is made to Jesus. As I say, if you read it in Matthew 15:23, Jesus is said to have remained quiet, silent to start off with. There is no response that comes from Jesus at first. And again, as he responds, he's not willing to help her. How can I give you the food that is meant for children? It does not have to go to the dogs. Ooh. She's now been equated to a dog. In my nature, I can understand this because we don't buy food for dogs. So our dogs, they eat anything that is remainder. So there's no way I will cook my food and give it to the dogs first before I eat. Whatever we feed dogs is after what we have eaten. So I can totally understand when Jesus is saying, I cannot feed you the food that I have for the children to the dogs. In other words, in that moment, in that time, Jesus is trying to tell her, I came for a specific people for now. Yes, later on you can have something from me. As we know, then the word, the gospel letter spread it to this very day, still spreading. That's why me and you, as far as we are from Israel, we have become Christians. We have become people who believed in God. But it was not for that moment. But that does not chase her away. That does not make her go. She still remains very persistent in asking. Even when she is told, I cannot give you the bread that is meant for the children to you, she goes on to answer him with great understanding. But Lord, even the dogs can eat the crumbs of what falls behind under the table. She still answers him well, despite, as I say, being equated to a dog. She's still so persistent, and she's still so persistent with understanding that, yes, at this moment, at this time, it's not much for us, but it's much for that generation that you have come for that nation that you have come for. But also, I don't need so much of your power, of you. She understands the vastity of power that is in Jesus. That is not much that I need for you to help my daughter with. We are people of so many different needs. If we can start to mention our needs, they are so different in what's happening in our lives. But we can all come to God and still get something from his power from him. And that's what she's saying. So yes, those crumbs can still come and make a great difference in the life of my children, the life of my daughter. I don't need much. She does not allow her ego or her pride to be affected by being called a dog, to be affected by his silence when he is silent. But still, she persisted. And in her persistence, he gets it. And for sure, he does get it. And then calls her a woman of great faith. I remember 2 weeks ago, Angela Parker stood, for those that were in church, she stood, I think, after the word of knowledge. And she said, there's a man who died. It's a story told. So I don't know how far reality or truth it is. But there's a story told of a man who died and went to heaven, so many boxes. I'm quoting from Angela to those that were here, Angela Parker. So the man saw a lot of boxes, and he's asking, those boxes, so no, each box has got a name on it. And one of those boxes has your name on it. And then he's asking, but how come, like, I didn't get the box while I was on earth? I'm only seeing the box while I'm up here. And then he saw this because you did not persistently ask for the things that were meant for you. Sometimes we are very shameful to ask from God. Sometimes we feel, oh, no. I don't deserve this. Either maybe I'm just asking too much. Yet he's a loving Father who is so willingly to give so much for us. I hope we will not be part of those who go to heaven and see a box with my name. Be willingly to ask for anything and everything from God. In persistent, he will give you, or he answers most of the things that we desire from him. The fourth point I have, this woman is immovable. She is not moved at all. You know, in the book of Matthew, actually when Jesus remained silent to start off, the disciples are said to have spoken. Again, the disciples say to Jesus, send him away. How long do you want it to continue begging before you? So the disciples speak. Jesus remained silent, but they took it upon themselves. They could have been right because they didn't come in this place for this. They've come to rest. They've come for peace. And this is now this woman who's coming to nag, to beg before Jesus. So they are telling Jesus to send this woman away. So I can give them that benefit of doubt that they could be right. But also I'm saying, these guys, they don't seem to learn, isn't it? Because look in Mark 5, when the woman of the issue of blood came, Jesus is asking, who touched me? And they begin, oh, there are many people here raveling. How can you ask who touched me? But later on, indeed, there was somebody who touched Jesus and a miracle had happened. And the feeding of the 5,000, again, Jesus is asking, is there any food here? They say, oh, we will need lots and lots of money to buy to feed these people. Even what is here is that, again, they are quick to speak. But out of the 2 fishes and 5 loaves, Jesus goes on to feed the 5,000. So if by now they should at least be learning to say, oh, at least this is now an opportunity to see God at work, instead of quickly answering him again to say, send her off. By now, their spiritual insight should be beginning to open to see. It looks like this woman is more spiritual than them, because he is still, even when she's told about the dogs, she's still interacting with Jesus in the manner, in the way that is actually continuously touching Jesus to answer her and give her what she desired before. So she is not moved. She is not distracted by the disciples as they try to tell Jesus to say, move her off. There are many things that can distract us. Let alone now these days, we don't need to go out of our houses to find distraction. I call it busy doing nothing, because I can go either on my WhatsApp for wanting to answer Angela a message, and maybe I leave that WhatsApp without having answered the message that I wanted to answer Angela. But I've been talking to everyone else. I've finally got distracted. It might take me a day or two to send one very text that I had thought of sending. Or I go on Facebook. I spend 2 hours there. I can't even imagine where has that 2 hours gone. We easily get so distracted, but she does not allow to be distracted with the disciples of Christ. She is so immovable. She understands and she's focused to her Savior. She presses in, and her request is made. Finally, one other quality that I so that she represents here, she extends her faith to others. It's that faith that stands in the gap. Twice in the Bible, Jesus speaks and calls people of great faith. It is in this Matthew 7 and also in Matthew 8, the Roman centurion, when they came to Jesus. Both of them are not Jewish, so they possibly have not heard so much from Jesus direct as the Jewish has done. They are both Gentiles, but they sought God on behalf of other people. This woman is sought God for her daughter. The Roman centurion sought God for his servant who was not feeling well. And both of them, because they believed, because they came in faith. The Roman surgeon, I remember him saying, you don't need to come to my house, only say the word and my servant will be healed. They get their request. They are not coming for themselves, but they are willing to extend their faith for other people to benefit from it, for other people to be saved. I came across a quote that say, many people may not allow us to speak to them about God, but that does not stop us to speak to God about them. Meaning, yes, we might face a lot of resistance when we try to share our Jesus to many people, but those very people, we can pray for them on our own, and God can move as we pray for them. It's quite a lot that we can bring to God in our lives. Yes, we are going through a lot of challenges as we live. As I say, we've got all sorts of different challenges that are facing us as individuals, as a nation, as a church, a season of complete change, let me say, in that. But also we can come to God, as I say, with a lot of dreams, godly good dreams. It doesn't have to be the things that obviously that are affecting us negatively and we are seeking a change. It can be something that we are dreaming and desiring God to move. We will see him come to pass and move for us in a different way, in a different measure. Tim was speaking this morning, telling us the situation, the scenario that we have now with the youth minister, which is almost coming to a year when things are like that. I remember speaking to one of the people that are leading at the moment, saying we need to bring this issue into church one day in a Sunday worship and worship through it and worship with it to God, and we'll see God moving in on our behalf. Because look at the car park. I remember it was beginning of June when Malcolm stood to speak to us about it. And by that end of that very month, June, 95% of the money that was needed to do the car park was already raised. It's not a small figure that we're talking about. We know it all. It was quite a lot of money, but God moved through his people. And we thank God for the generosity of his people and all well wishes who were able to give. So the Bible tells us that with God, nothing is impossible, but God desires us to request. God desires us to go to him in great faith, for he is able to bless us with all good gifts that we desire from him. Amen and amen.